Welcome to Slaking Thirsts, a podcast that's all about bringing the thirst deep within our hearts for love and communion to the heart of Christ, a divine heart, who is seeking our love and communion in return. The hope is that the two thirsts would meet and both thirsts would be slaked.
Well, as I said earlier, happy Easter, everyone. It's very edifying to see so many of you, and it's great to have you here. As I said at the beginning, if you are a visitor, you're always welcome anytime here at St. Basil's. So we're glad to see you. We're glad to have you. You know, if anyone asks, like, what's the meaning of Easter? Where does it come from? I think most of us could give, like, a fifth grade Catholic school answer and get a good grade on the test. Like, oh, Easter's about Jesus. He rose from the dead. And everyone goes, yeah. And then we all kind of move on as if that's the whole mystery. As if the very thing that changed the direction of humanity is summed up in a fifth grade, true or false, Easter's about Jesus rising, and we say true. There's so much more going on here, and obviously even more than can fit in a little homily, but it is to say that if he doesn't rise, there's no reason to believe that things could get better in your life. Because we're just on a cycle, aren't we? Like, there's no reason to actually believe that, oh, this job will do it. This home will give me what I'm looking for. This new political person, or maybe this new Easter outfit. Although you look nice, don't worry. There's no real reason to believe that any of that's going to actually fulfill and give us the life we're seeking. The only reason to really believe that our heart's desire for more is because there was one person who took on our humanity, went into the mystery known as death, really died, was really dead, and then was really alive again in an even more beautiful way than before, thereby conquering suffering and death. And he did it in this world, not in some fairy tale land like long, long ago. In this world, it happened here. Some people have traveled to the Holy Land and walked in the places and seen, oh, here is where he did this. This is where this happened. It actually happened in this world. And our faith actually begins not with fullness. What we believe as a church, what we offer everyone is, if you're in touch with, I'm missing something in life. If you're in touch with that, then we have something to offer you. Because that's how the gospel is today. The gospel today that's read, we actually don't meet the risen Jesus yet. In this gospel, on this week, what we have is something's missing in their lives. Jesus. And they thought they knew where to look for what they were missing. So they went to the tomb. And what's there? Nothing. Our faith begins with the lack. I'm missing something. I'm looking for something. This cannot be all there is. There's got to be something more. Where is it? Where do I find it? I thought it'd be right here. In fact, everything in my experience tells me it should be right here, but it's not where I think it should be. I think we've all heard of the news cases where, like, sadly to say, people who are billionaires will take their own life. Incredibly sad. But you ever stop and think, like, well, they got the billions. Like, don't just get a different yacht. Maybe that will help. Like, go to a different ocean. I don't know. Do the things that billionaires do, which I don't know what they are. But it's like that clearly, they spent their whole life thinking, once I get here, then. And then they got there, and something was missing. Peter and John run to the tomb today. By the way, it's John's gospel, so John gets there first. Oddly convenient, right? All right. And as if to rub it in, he goes, the other disciple also went, the one who arrived at the tomb first. Says it again, as if, like, just in case you wanted to know how slow Peter was. But they get there, and there's just this, wait, what we're looking for, we can't find. There should be something more. What's amazing is that later on in the resurrection appearances, this something more is not something like spiritual, as we think of spiritual, because it's actually incredibly human. In fact, in almost all the resurrection appearances, Jesus says, look, see. He's inviting him to look. I have a body. Touch the wounds, he says. Give me something to eat. Let's have breakfast. Let's walk together. It's an incredibly human reality that the resurrection is breaking through. It's not an angel. It's not a mystical thing as we tend to think of mystical things. It's incredibly human. And this first dawned on me the year before I was ordained a priest. I was getting a haircut at a place called Crazy Mullets, just like you, right? And it was in Coventry, in Cleveland Heights area. And I remember I was getting a haircut, and it was right before Easter time. And she had cut my hair two or three times at this point. So we're becoming best friends, as you could imagine, right? And she goes, oh, what are you getting a haircut for? And I was like, well, Easter is this weekend. And she goes, oh, do you do that church thing? I was like, little does she know, I really do it. Yeah, I really, I'm a big fan of that church thing. I said, yeah, no, I'll be involved in some things at the church. She's like, I just can't wrap my mind around that. She's like, I just think it's ridiculous. It just doesn't make any sense to me. I don't know why anyone would want to do that. She said a few more things, and I thought, I have about two master's degrees in theology, but I had enough common sense to realize she had sharp objects in her hand and cutting my hair. So I thought, maybe just let her believe what she believes and we'll go on our way. But I happened to see in the mirror, hanging from her neck was a little rock or stone or something. I said, hey, I noticed you have a necklace on of a stone. She goes, oh, I was in Sedona last month, and I touched this to a rock in the desert, and now I'm connected to all the energy of the world. It was just served up on a silver platter. But I wasn't as mature as I am now. So I said, let me get this right. The tradition of the Catholic Church has created the modern scientific method, universities, fought for women to learn how to read, orphanages, hospital systems, education. We've built some of the most beautiful pieces of architecture the church has ever known, hospitalization, medicine. We've written poetry, philosophy, theology. We've had saints and continue to do more for the poor and underprivileged in this world than any other organization. But your rock is going to help you. We didn't talk, and I never went back to Crazy Mullets. But this came back to me this week as I was praying for today's homily, because don't you see that the reason the church is so enmeshed and so embedded into the human experience is because God became one of us, died as one of us, and rose as one of us. Everything you dream of, everything of the kind of life you're seeking, we would submit to you. That's what we mean by resurrection. He resurrected with the human body to invite the disciples to participate in this power, in this hope, in this zeal. He released a power and work in this world, not an impersonal like energy, but a power known as Jesus himself, who has a human face and a human heart and a human body and knows you by name. This is why we always proclaim, forgive one another. This is why we think, get back in there with your family. Give it another shot. This is why we think there can be hope after you lose a job. This is why we think, although death is incredibly mind-numbingly painful, and you may be aware of it this holiday, that you're missing people around your Easter table that used to be there, and it's painful. It's not a platitude to say, but you know what? It's going to be okay. Because someone has risen from the dead, and we still participate in that life and in that power. How? In the way he asked us to, in physical, human ways, by being a part of his, what's called mystical body, but it's to say his community, the church, and to be nourished on the sacraments, which aren't just for kids to look cute in the next few months at their first communion, but to give adults at any stage hope that you will not be reduced to your sins because Jesus suffered, died, and rose. You will not be condemned to some dark part of your story, but there's always hope for new life, for zeal, no matter how far gone you have felt or you have even gone. He went further. He went all the way down, and on Easter Sunday, he rose all the way up to say, I know the journey. And when he shows up, he says, peace, which in Hebrew is shalom, which means I come back to offer you nothing but flourishing. Jesus is not the great enemy of the human project. He is the only ally and the guarantor of your hearts. So if you are in touch with, I'm looking for something, something's lacking, you're in the gospel today. If you realize my humanity feels a little sluggish, you're in the gospel today. If you realize I just need to know it's going to be okay, you're in the gospel today. And that's why throughout the world, today is the most important feast day we have as a church. Billions of Catholics worldwide today say one word that gathers it all together. The joy, the excitement, and the faith. And we again say, Alleluia. Amen.